So good afternoon, everyone. I'm today gonna present together with my colleague Irene Canoni, who created the presentation. We're gonna focus today on the securitization regulation. There have been quite a few updates in the last few weeks and days. So we'll go through the major developments affecting the securitization regulation. Just from a housekeeping perspective, there will be a presentation that is going to be published also on the website of European Data Warehouse. Actually, I encourage you to log in because this was a new website that has been launched just before Christmas. There is also going to be a recording of this webinar of today. And as usual, we will allow you to submit some questions towards the end of the webinar. So we have actually quite a packed agenda, as you probably have seen already from what has been circulated. We have another webinar also coming up next week. This is going to be on the focusing on covered bonds and the solutions that we have for covered bonds. And we also have the first workshop scheduled. This one is going to be in London on the 14th of February, and we'll certainly also have an announcement as the European Banking Authority will participate in the workshop in London. But without further ado, I would like to start going through the presentation because there are a lot of news as we had the last webinar last year in the month of December. And so there have been quite a few announcements coming from the authorities. I'm already basically on the slide number 3 of the presentation. And as you can see now, the development in terms of from a timeline perspective, officially now the securitization regulation, at least level 1, is implemented in the European Union. So every new securitization transaction, whether is an ABS, an ABCP, or any other type under the underlying exposure templates of ESMA now needs to comply under the new securitization regulation. So we are basically now in the, let's say, middle of or towards the end of the level 2 of the process. So on the level 2, a lot of information has already been published both from the European Banking Authority and also from ESMA in terms of information for the level 2, but there are also some parts that are still under consultation. We'll go more into the detail later during the WebEx. So it's at the moment it's a very fluid situation, but what is for sure is that every new securitization transaction issued and listed in 2018, private or public, they need to basically comply with the new securitization regulation. So moving on then, going through all the most important releases, because also we organized the WebEx following from a timing perspective all the releases that have been done and announced towards the end of the last year. So I think we can move relatively quickly to the slide number 6. And the Joint European Supervisors Authorities statement that actually was published on the 30th of November. And that actually is very clarifying because it means and it explains in detail what are also the requirements and what is applicable in terms of the disclosure requirements. So actually I pass the ball now to my colleague Irene, who's going to go through and explain in detail particularly some of the language and try to explain the wording of the authorities.
So in the first statement that Marco mentioned that was published on the 30th of November, the joint statement from the European Supervisory Authorities, there it is stated that the transitional provisions that are set out in the Article 43, Paragraph 8, apply from the 1st of January 2019. This means that the CRA 3 templates are currently applicable until the final draft technical standards by ESMA are approved by the European Commission and published in the official journal of the European Union. Now, although the European supervisory authorities are aware of the severe operational challenges for the reporting entities during the transition period, they do not possess the formal power to allow the disapplication of any EU legal text. And they actually, with this statement, they are expecting the national competent authorities to apply their supervisory powers in their day-to-day supervision in a proportionate and risk-based manner. They expect the competent authorities to take into consideration the existing reporting practices, and they even suggest a case-by-case assessment by the competent authorities of the degree of compliance with the securitization regulation. Now, in case you have any questions or require further guidance on how to comply with the regulation during the transition period, we strongly advise you to contact the national competent authorities for further guidance. Now, the next statement actually is the letter that the European Commission filed to ESMA, and it is related to the draft regulatory and implementing technical standards on securitization disclosures that were submitted on by ESMA on the 22nd of August last year. The European Commission intends to endorse those the draft RTS, ITS, only after certain adjustments are made by ESMA. In this letter, they highly focus on the calibration of the no data options, and more specifically for the templates of the asset-backed commercial paper securitizations, for which there was no existing reporting regime in place so far. And the European Commission in this letter agrees also with ESMA that the technical standards should respect the principle of proportionality, and that it's really important to ensure a balance between giving the users the required information, but at the same time promoting a well-functioning securitization market, which is in line with the objective of the securitization regulation. Now, in the meantime, we are aware that ESMA is in discussions with the industry to collect feedback on the templates, and more specifically on the expansion of the use of no data options in additional fields where necessary. In the next slide, we actually show the tentative timeline of how we expect the process to evolve over the next of the coming months. Now, the ESMA submitted the draft RTS on the 22nd of August 2018 to the European Commission. The European Commission had 3 months to review and approve or reject or come back with any comments to ESMA. After the European Commission sent the letter with the comments to ESMA, ESMA has 6 weeks to submit the revised RTS to the European Commission. Then the European Commission, it's expected to be at the end of January, given that the letter was filed on the 14th of December. The European Commission then has 2 to 3 months to review those the revised RTS, and then there are another 3 months with the European Parliament before it is published in the official journal and becomes a regulation, which is expected sometime in the summer of 2019. This year also we have the parliamentary elections, and there might be also a further delay due to this, to the elections, but we'll see how it goes. Now, the next announcement was actually the long-awaited final guidelines on the simple, transparent, and standardized criteria that have been published by the European Banking Authority. And these guidelines are particularly developed to ensure a harmonized interpretation and application of the STS criteria across the European Union. The guidelines are officially applying from the 15th of May 2019, and EBA though expects the national competent authorities and other addressees to generally apply this approach that is set out in the guidelines from the 1st of January 2019, which is the date of application of the securitization regulation. The next statement was from the UK competent authorities, the Prudential Regulation Authority and the Financial Conduct Authority, and it's related to the reporting of the private transactions. On the 20th of December, they actually published a joint statement, and they outlined the manner for which they expect the private transactions to comply with the reporting requirements under the Article 7. Now, for the securitizations for which there is a prospectus issued based on the prospectus directive, the information shall be made available by means of securitization repository, or in the absence of a securitization repository, by means of a website that meets certain criteria. The securitization regulations 2018, which was made in December 2018, grants the UK competent authorities the powers to actually direct the manner in which the originator, sponsor, or special purpose entity that is established in the UK should comply with the disclosure requirements under the Article 7. Now, for these purposes, they actually have requested that they would expect a summary of the relevant information to be notified. The full set of information, though, should still remain available to each competent authority, but only upon request. For the purpose of this private transaction reporting, they have also published a template. They propose this template for the reporting of the private transactions, and this template would apply from the 15th of January 2019. The frequency of the reporting is for non-ABCP securitizations upon each issuance of securities or upon the creation of each new securitization position from the 1st of January 2019. For asset-backed commercial paper, upon the first issuance of securities at program level and subsequently upon the first issuance of securities at program level following the inclusion of a new seller within the program, that both starting from the 1st of January 2019. And finally, for both non-ABCP and ABCP, they actually expect the information that is required to be made available to the holders of securitization position with regards to the inside information and significant events as per the securitization regulation. Now, Marco will give you an update on the securitization repositories registration.
Thanks for hearing, yes. So, as you can imagine, also with the latest news with respect to Brexit and the vote of the Parliament, also the situation is very fluid in the UK. But nevertheless, what is very interesting is that aims to become the first securitization repository under the regulation not only in continental Europe but also in the UK, and as such we actually have a first meeting starting the process and procedure with the Financial Conduct Authority comes next week. Already European Developer House has created the specific company, a limited company for the UK market. And we have already, on the other side, also started all the process and the procedures internally to submit the application, both in London and also in Paris. We are also, then we can go more into the detail, we are also very much advanced also from an IT perspective, because we have an enhanced version of editor to comply with the securitization with the securitization regulation. So this is again a press release that was issued at the beginning of the last year. So as soon as we have a news or specific announcement, you will probably see another press release coming out as soon as there are some other relevant or key news. The other interesting part, similarly to what Irini was mentioning earlier regarding the Financial Conduct Authority, where there is currently also the consultation. The ESMA has released also technical standards on the securitization repositories. These were published actually in the middle of November, and they are basically describing all the requirements from a functional and technical perspective for the firms like European Data Warehouse that are seeking to register with the authorities as a securitization repository. As we have mentioned earlier, in the, from a timeline perspective, we think that, frankly speaking, the legislation and the process will start probably in February in the UK and more likely in March for the continental registration. And then, as in the timeline that was drafted earlier, over the summer, then we probably have a more concrete news in terms of the information. Nevertheless, as for private other type of repositories, ESMA and FCA, as soon as they approve a repository, in this case a securitization repository, I think they will probably likely follow the same process and procedures, i.e. they will indicate on their website who has been selected and nominated. As you can see here on the following slide, slide 15, the roadmap was mentioning earlier regarding the summer. That basically has not changed since last year, and this is based again on the hypothetical, let's say, best case scenario for any kind of securitization repository. Again, what we would like to stress, because in practice, as you can already understand, there is a dual reporting regime, i.e. The regime of the ECB will continue clearly with exactly the same eligibility criteria this year, and also the Bank of England eligibility criteria are going to be the same. So we're going to have a kind of dual reporting regime, one according to the new securitization regulation and the other one according to the ECB and or the Bank of England templates. So European Network House intends to provide continuity in terms of the reporting obligations under both regimes, and that's the reason why you can also opt in the absence of an ESMA registered securitization repository to use a European Data Warehouse for the same purposes. Clearly also, as soon as we have a case study, i.e. the first transaction under the securitization regulation, we try to organize a webinar or during one of the upcoming workshops, we will share with you all the experience that we have with the first transaction, because clearly there are a lot of part that needs to be complied with, not only from a low level data perspective, but also from a documentation. There are a lot of details in terms of, for example, LEI, etc., so the registration process, the access to the information, and all other details that we can certainly share with you well in advance. So then if we can basically move to the next slide, on the slide 16, we already have launched, this was actually in the middle of November, a new version of Editor, let's call it Editor in compliance with the securitization regulation, in addition to Editor in compliance with the Bank of England and the ECB eligibility requirements. And so one of the interesting things is that we call it right now Sandbox, is the fact that you can already get familiar with the new IT solution, test it. If you want to send us an email via inquiries, then we can start already working. We have already a number of institutions that they are testing this so-called beta phase. And so you can get familiar with all the steps that you need to have in terms of first to register and then to create a transaction, delete, upload the documents, and also have all the checks in order to comply and to make sure that you are potentially also achieving the STS status, as Irini was mentioning earlier. So you can have all these tests beforehand. One of the other interesting things is also that we have learned just when we came back. So on the 18th or the 8th of January, the Financial Conduct Authority has also published a specific consultation paper which reality is focusing on three key questions regarding the fees for the fee structure for the securitization repositories, with a deadline for comments by the 11th of February. Interestingly enough, they are quite substantially different from the one from ESMA, and there are also some other provisions that are taking into consideration the different scenarios under Brexit. So European Advisors again will respond to this consultation. Clearly, as we announced already during the last workshop, we have a limited company that has already been created in the UK. And we will continue, and we are planning already to continue the application in the UK with all the elements and the necessary process and procedures that are deemed to be necessary, as indicated from the Financial Conduct Authority and the PRA in the UK. So that's for the UK side of things. Last, I think, is one of the questions that is often raised also during the calls, and is how can European Debt Warehouse help any of the participants, i.e. the sponsors, can help the SPEs or any other parties that are involved in securitization transactions to comply. And I'll just leave it to Irene to explain what are the steps that you can take in order to do so.
Yeah, thank you, Marco. In this slide, we actually particularly focus on how European Data Warehouse can help your firm during the transition period. And of course, we offer this dedicated website through our new regulatory reporting solution editor. There is this website which is compliant with the Article 7, Paragraph 2, which outlines the specific requirements for the period where there is no securitization repository in place. And editor is also can also cater for private securitizations, because it has a private area with control access. In terms of the CRA3 templates, European Data Warehouse has a great amount of experience. We have been working with those templates, the European Central Bank ABS loan level data templates, for more than 5 years now. And we actually are here to help you. We also offer a detailed gap analysis between the latest available ESMA template version and the European Central Bank data templates. For the UK customers, we also have a data conversion toolkit, which we offer, that allows the conversion of the data from the Bank of England RMBS data format to the European Central Bank RMBS loan level data template format. And finally, we have investor access, so more than 250 registered data users, mainly investors, access our platform, and they can also use it, the access, to fulfill their due diligence obligations according to Article 5 of the securitization regulation. Finally, we are actually happy to announce that we have been nominated for the Securitization Data Provider of the Year. It's the European Securitization Awards that are organized by Global Capital website. So we would kindly ask you to visit the Global Capital website and support us with your vote. We will actually post the presentation on the website later on, and we'll include the link to the website where you can vote for us.
Great, thanks, Irene. So with that, we conclude, the presentation on the latest developments under the securitization regulation. As you can clearly understand, the situation is still very fluid. So there are a lot of bits and pieces that needs to go still into place. I think we have already receiving a couple of questions from the public, and the first one is regarding the test. So how can I access editor, the new version under the securitization regulation that was launched last year, Irene?
For this purpose, if you are not an ed user, European Data Warehouse user, please send us an email to inquiries@uw.eu, and we will give you access to our editor platform. If you want to have access to this sandbox that we actually use for testing purposes, for this also you need to contact us through inquiries, and we will enable you access to this test environment, this sandbox, where you can actually test the new application and also the existing RMBS and auto versions, in case you want to try to upload long-level data files and the inside information significant event templates, but only for the latest available version of the ESMA as of this 22nd of August.
Thanks, Irene. Also, I think there is another question that is popping up now, and is related to which, let's say, securitization transactions applies the securitization regulation. So what does it constitute a securitization under the new securitization regulation that starts on the 1st of January 2019? I think the question is more related to some type of specific structures of securitization transactions, for example, if it is a standalone or whether it's a master trust. Yeah. Irene, I don't know whether you want to pick up.
Yes.
This.
So according to the, of course, ESMA final report as well, and the level one regulation, specifically, I will focus on the disclosure requirements, which are relevant for us. The reporting requirements, which are set out in Article 7 of the securitization regulation, apply to all securitizations that issue new securities on or after January 1st, 2019, and any outstanding securitizations that seek STS compliance. So that's the actual scope of application of the regulation, and especially on the disclosure requirements, which is related to European Data Warehouse.
So in a nutshell, for as an example, if a new if an existing securitization transaction issue a new tranche with a new ISIN, does that need to comply with the new securitization regulation?
Yeah, if this happens after the 1st of January 2019, it falls under the scope of the regulation.
Okay.
Any other question?
I think we don't see any other questions, but in the interest of time, I would suggest if you have any other questions, please do not hesitate to contact us via inquiries at eurodw.eu. Again, thank you for participating into the webinar. We clearly will continue over the year to organize webinars and workshops to keep you up to speed with the latest solutions and services from a European Data Warehouse perspective. Clearly, we have ongoing calls with particularly with issuers that are in the process of creating transactions. We are working across jurisdictions and across asset classes, not to mention not only ABS and ABCP, but also CLOs, etc. So if you have questions, and CMBS as well, so if you have questions, again, please do not hesitate to contact us. We will try to help you as much as we can.